Okay, well, it's a joy to see you here tonight and gathering together as God's people to worship the Lord in prayer tonight for this first prayer meeting of the new year. It's good to see the resolution you guys have made. Let's keep it up, right? But have you ever been unsure regarding something that Scripture teaches, or unsure of what decision to make that would best glorify God? I think most of us, none of us struggle, exactly, none of us struggle with that, right? All of us do, which is why we all need to pray along the lines of the prayer that Paul sets before us tonight. We're continuing our study of Paul's prayers from the pages of the New Testament, and we're striving to learn as God's people for ourselves what to adore, appreciate, ask for, admonish, and amen in our own prayer lives. We've seen so far that we ought to adore God, we ought to appreciate Christ's gifts, and we ought to ask for God to care for the entirety of the needs that our brothers and sisters in Christ face on a daily basis. We've seen that we ought to pray for their physical needs, we ought to pray for their emotional needs, for their mental needs, and as we're currently studying, we ought to pray for their spiritual needs. We saw last week that we ought to pray for their spiritual discernment, that we as believers would be equipped by the Spirit of God through the Word of God to be able to approve what is excellent and what is most pleasing to the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to learn that we ought to pray not only for spiritual discernment, but for spiritual maturity. And we're actually going to learn this not from a prayer that Paul directly gives, but from a prayer that Paul endorses that was given by someone else. So I'm kind of cheating a little bit of Paul's prayers. This is one that he recommends, not that he actually gives. And that person that we're going to learn from tonight is Epaphras. Yes, tonight we are in the book of Colossians, where we're going to see Paul recommend to us that we ought to pray for spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. All of us struggle with spiritual maturity, don't we? I wish I could say that I never struggle with doubt. I wish I could say that I never struggle in my devotion to Christ. And I wish I could say that I never struggle with understanding or submitting to God's word when I do understand it. But the reality is I do. And the reality is all of us do. At different times and different ways, we all need greater spiritual maturity. And so we're instructed to pray for it. We ought to pray for spiritual maturity. This comes from Colossians 4:12, where Paul writes, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God." We looked at this briefly when we were finishing up Colossians in our study about a year and a half ago, where we were focusing on what makes up an effective spiritual ministry in a church, one that glorifies Christ. Tonight we're going to look at it from a slightly different angle and actually focus a little bit more on the substance of Epaphras' prayer. So this is Paul presenting to us an example of how we ought to pray for spiritual maturity. But before we take a closer look, let's ask the Lord to help us understand and apply his word tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence with us this evening. Father, I thank you that not only are you over us as our great shepherd, and not only are you among us, as Revelation describes walking among your churches, but Father, I rejoice tonight, we rejoice tonight that you are in us, that your Spirit indwells us tonight, and because of that, we can open up your word, and we can understand the things that are freely given to us that are contained in this book. And so, Father, we thank you that it reveals to us who you are, that it reveals to us your glory, and it also reveals to us how we ought to respond to you in this world for your honor. And so, Father, I pray that you would teach us tonight by your Spirit, through your word, so that we would become a people of prayer who know how to pray in accordance to your will. Give us grace, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I stated before, this is a prayer that's presented by Paul for spiritual maturity. That's the focus, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. And that was a prayer that the Colossian believers severely needed. So let's take a look at it. Paul begins by saying, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. If you recall, Epaphras was likely the pastor, elder, and church planter of the church there in Colossae. And after ministering to the church for about 8 years, Epaphras began to confront some serious false teaching and false teachers that had crept into the church. Some serious doctrinal compromises and compromisers had crept in, and we studied them at length. They said, in summary, Christ is good, but he's not good enough, right? You also need mystical experiences and visions, right? You need religious formalism and ceremonies. You need Christ plus something else in order to please God and live an abundant life. Because Christ is good, but the message is Christ is not enough. And Epaphras' faithful ministry of Christ to that congregation after all those years was in danger of being overthrown by Satan's subtleties. They were in danger, as Ephesians 4:14 states, of being tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And so out of deep concern for his congregation and for their souls, Epaphras traveled over 1,200 miles over to Rome to visit Paul to seek his help in dealing with these errors. And Paul does so. That's what the book of Colossians was all about. He supported Epaphras doctrinally, but here at the end of the letter, we actually see that Paul supports Epaphras personally. He reminds the Colossian believers, just like he did back in chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, that Epaphras was a servant of Christ Jesus. In other words, he's doing the Lord's work, so he's encouraging the Colossian believers to support him, to follow him, to encourage him. And then Paul gives just one example of why Epaphras was such a faithful servant of Christ, and that was because he served the church of Christ by, he says here, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. So Epaphras served the Colossian believers by praying for the Colossian believers. And he did more than just pray. It says here that he struggled in his prayers on their behalf. That word is used elsewhere in Scripture to describe fighting for something to the point of agony, right? The picture that came to my mind was immediately Jacob, who wrestled with the angel in Genesis 32:26. In likewise manner, Epaphras wrestled with God on behalf of his people's souls as well. He fought hard in prayer to the point of agony for the sake of those Colossian believers. And what did he pray for? What was his burden for his brothers and sisters in Christ there in Colossae? His burden was this, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. That's what Epaphras struggled for, both in his preaching and in his praying. He prayed that those under his care would grow to stand fully mature in Christ and fully assured in all the will of God. So, first, this prayer is, I want you to notice, first and foremost, a petition to God that you may stand. That's what he says, that you may stand. Spiritual stability, consistency, and faithfulness is so important when it comes to our Christian life. We often think of what our Christian life ought to be, right? And we think it needs to be something radical, something crazy, something extreme. And what Scripture actually points out is no, it ought to be something consistent and faithful and regular. Spiritual stability, consistency, and faithfulness is important when it comes to our Christian life. It's important, first, for our spiritual assurance. Paul stated earlier in Colossians 1:23 that one of the ways that we know that we have been reconciled to God and that we have received eternal life is if we continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you've heard. Quite simply, how do we know that we belong to God? Well, one of the ways is that we can see that God is holding on to us and that he is giving us a supernatural faith that will not let him go. So spiritual stability and faithfulness, the ability to be able to stand against error and against hardship, is important for our own spiritual assurance. Spiritual stability is second important for our spiritual growth. Paul says in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, he says, so walk in him, rooted, and then listen to this, built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So spiritual stability, consistency, and faithfulness in our walk with Christ causes us to be built up, to grow in him. When I look back on my Christian life, I can tell you that one of the greatest reasons why I'm not more spiritually mature than I wish I was is not because of long periods of sin, but frankly because of long periods of spiritual apathy and inconsistency, of not being faithful, not being steadfast, not being disciplined, not standing firm and holding fast to Christ and his word. And I can also, on the other hand, say, how have I grown at all? And I don't look back and see all of these momentous, and I'm not dissing church camps or anything, but all these sticks thrown in the fire or all these evangelistic campaigns I went to. I know that I have grown spiritually to the extent that I have because, to whatever extent, God has made me faithful, as faithful as I am, in reading God's word, in praying. It's those small everyday decisions to stand in Christ's word that causes a believer to grow. Christian growth is not a flash in the pan. It's something that happens slowly over time as the Spirit works in the believer's heart. And so for our assurance and for our growth, we ought to pray, God, start off just by saying, God, help me to stand. Help me to stand firm in Christ, firm in the soil of his truth. Help me to stand. And notice, he says, stand how? Stand how? Stand mature, he says, that you may stand mature. What does Christian maturity look like? In short, it looks like Jesus. Ephesians 4:13 says that as members of the body of Christ, we're to build one another up until we attain, Paul says, to a mature manhood. And what is that? He says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does it look like to be a mature Christian? It doesn't mean a better you. To look like a mature Christian means to look like Jesus and at last lose yourself and find him. Right? It looks like believing, behaving, and being like Christ. This is the objective of all Christian ministry and of all Christian ministers. As Paul says in Colossians 1:28, him, that is Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? So that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Paul used all of Scripture to apply all of Christ to all of life, and he labored over this, as the next verse in Colossians 1 says, to the point of agony. Even as he says over in Galatians 4:19, my little children, I am in the agony of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Christ-likeness, that is spiritual maturity. And Paul says, I want you to be like Christ, not just some of the time, but all of the time. Not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. Right? Not just during times of ease, but during times of pain and hardship. I want you to stand mature in Christ, and as the end of the verse says, stand fully assured in all the will of God. Now I want you to notice here, part of spiritual maturity is becoming more sure of what God's word says, more sure of the truth. After all, being assured of the truth is the essence of faith. This is contrary to what so many people are saying today. People are trying to say doubt is a part of faith. No, that is not true. Doubt is the opposite of faith, right? Now, we possess both doubt and faith, but doubt is not faith. Doubt is not faith. Being assured of the truth is the essence of faith. Romans 4:21 describes the faith of Abraham in this way, that he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. To have faith, therefore, is to have full confidence in the person and promises of God. And so Paul here in Colossians 4:12 is praying that those Colossian believers' faith would grow, that they would become spiritually mature. And I find this so encouraging that Epaphras prayed for this, Because it means it's possible. It means it's possible. Ephesians 5:17 says that we can understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't buy the lie of so many people that God's word is so lofty and above us all, none of us can ever understand it. That is not true. God's word is clear. It is accessible. You can become fully assured in all the will of God. God is an excellent communicator. That's why Paul prays back in Colossians 1, verse 9, that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul prayed for them to know and understand God's will because he knew it was possible. As he says over in Colossians 2:2, you and I can reach a full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's word in Christ. We can become fully assured in all the will of God. And growing in our spiritual maturity involves growing in our understanding of God's word and in our surety of it. And so this is what Epaphras prays for and wrestles for and fights for, that they would stand, that they would stand mature, and that they would stand mature, fully assured in all the will of God. That was Epaphras' burden, and it should be our burden as well. All of us can, and we should, be serving the body of Christ here by praying for each other and by lifting each other up before the throne of God so that we would not be blown about, but rather, as Colossians 2:6 says, we would be rooted and grounded in Christ, steadfast in living and mature in doctrine. We must pray for spiritual maturity because it cannot happen any other way. As Psalms 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor to build it labor in vain. Right? We can do a lot of ministry after prayer, and Epaphras did, but we can't do any ministry until prayer. One of the most important ministries that we do here at Grace Chapel is about to happen right here tonight as we pray. And so let's do this tonight. Let's lift up our ministries of the church before the Lord in prayer, that these ministries might be effective in making believers standing mature in Christ, fully assured in all the will of God. Let's commit our ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Let's not neglect, as Paul calls on us here, to pray for spiritual maturity.